Log Talk Radio.
What's happening, everybody? This is the 8 o'clock hour on the Blog Talk Radio Network. This is the Kay Thompson Live Show, and I am the son, also known as Citizen Payne, and probably by a whole bunch of other names by some people. We're going to be talking about, as you know, a lot of stuff in the news, and the news of the last week. And as you know, we talk about a lot of politics here. My mom, just so everybody will know, my mom, Kay Thompson Live, is taking the night off. She's going to do a little bit of resting and stuff like that. She's doing some research. So it's me and Brother Wayne and Byron Saunders. And, we have some really bizarre times. I am constantly kind of surprised every week. And I try not to be surprised with anything at all in terms of politics in the world and things like that. But this guy, this squatter, the criminal at 1600, boy, he's the gift that keeps giving, the most entertaining individual in the White House ever, I believe. But let me go on and bring in one of our co-hosts, Brother Byron Saunders, real quick before we can really jump off into the discussion. Let me see if I could open up the mic for you, Byron. I see you're on there.
That's me.
Working. There we go. Here we go.
I'm
got
good.
You loud and clear, Byron.
Yes,
Byron
sir.
Saunders.
Oh,
how
my
you doing?
Goodness. Well, it's another blessed day in paradise. I don't think it's down there in D.C., but up here where we are, I consider this not so bad, you know? We're not at ground zero, but certainly you're right. There's a lot of strange things going on. But you know what?
And
it's going to shake out. It's going to shake out, my brother. That's for sure.
Yep. And you know, we're actually, you mentioned about us not being at ground zero, but we are in the tri-state area where the indictments or the law will have teeth for the president. And his conspirators and his accomplices. The law will have teeth because he's not going to be able to pardon nobody with what's going to happen with that comes down on him from New York State. And hopefully he will have a whole lot of teeth, which means a whole lot of time for a lot of these people. You know, I don't know about you, but I can probably assume your perspective. You know, America's a funny place. I got a lot of mixed feelings, you know, about really believing, you know, because, you know, as African-Americans and probably a lot of other Americans who noticed the hypocrisy of this country, you know, I've grown into be a man that really doesn't believe a lot of this stuff and sees this country, you know, like two Americas, the one that affects us as black Americans and the one that was built based on supremacy and oppression and murder and things like that. And even though their public image, the PR image is, you know, we're just people looking to be free and all that, the history tells us what's really gone down, as does the history of the world, the facade that certain cultures have perpetuated on the entire world. And I'm not going to get into religion, the facade of religion and certain religions and things like that and the image of God and things like that. I'm just talking about, let's limit our conversation to America and how America has presented itself one way, but really has done other things. And so my reactions to certain things are sometimes like are Malcolm X-ish during the chickens come home to roost statement.
Yes.
And let's bring Brother Wayne Gilman in here before we get into the meat of this conversation. Brother Wayne Gilman, legendary newsman, how are you this evening, sir?
I guess all right, trying to stay afloat, and I'm curious to hear what you all are talking about at the moment.
Well, just to let you guys know, first off, my mom, if you guys didn't hear from the top of the show, my mom is taking some time off. She's doing a little research, and she's going to take some time off this evening. Secondly, I'm just talking about, you know, the news of the week, and I was saying you know, my position and my outlook about America is kind of Malcolm X-ish in terms of thinking that this is the chickens coming home to roost, you know. America has been built upon oppression and murder, certainly the oppression of our people and the annihilation of Native Americans and the oppression of various other minorities. And, you know, we also get sold the bill of goods, like, you know, America is this great country and people come here and give us your huddled masses and all that stuff. And that's the PR, you know, for everybody else. But we as Black Americans, African Americans whose ancestors came here in chains and were kidnapped, we have a different perspective. And so when Donald Trump does these despicable things, like attacking a dead person, you know, if you're a person of decency and empathy, and if you've lost people, as I have most recently, we've all lost people. I'm sure people die every day. But, you know, you think that these are certain things that make us all human and connect us to each other because we have the same emotion. But then you realize there are certain groups of people that don't have that emotion, don't have that empathy, whose objective is to murder off certain segments and actually believe in that. Right, and we just witnessed this horrific act in New Zealand, where the criminal in the White House didn't say anything about it, went in after a dead guy who was supposedly a war hero, and we have our perspectives about whether he was a war hero or not, and what he was fighting for, what America was representing at the time, but respect must be given to an individual who goes and puts his life on the line for the cause that he believes in. Right,
Thank you.
Caucasian Americans believe the whole narrative of what America is. And so many of those whose eyes aren't open to the truth of America, they blindly follow what the leaders like Trump and all these other crazy individuals tell them to do. And so whether it be to perpetuate white supremacy or perpetuate their lifestyle, there's individuals that put it all on the line for what they believed, and that's to be respected. Secondly, my point is that we could have been here already when John McCain ran for president. He could have used the Trump tactic. And this is where I changed my opinion slightly of the man when he was running against Barack Obama, when the lady stood up to call Obama a terrorist and a Muslim, and John McCain risked his presidency to correct that and said that this man is just like us. Now, he could have said, I don't know, reports are saying, but he chose to make this point. And that's where you see the integrity of an individual to me. So he garnered a whole new level of respect from me at that time, because we could have already been going through what we're going through, what the country's going through now, had McCain been a low individual like Donald Trump. And here Trump talks about these things, about stains on this man's career and all that. You know, it's kind of hard to talk about people and, you know, those of us who have fallen in life and had difficulties in life and made mistakes in life. You know, you live in glass houses, you shouldn't throw stones. And certainly you talk about someone having stains, you can't talk about anybody's stains if you got more stains on your career than a bedspread in an hourly motel. So, you know, I don't really understand, but this is what people believe about this man. And also, we're talking about the level of intelligence in this country to really know the facts and decipher. And on top of that, he's ended up being a home wrecker because he's coming in between George and Kellyanne, and I think George deserves alimony. So those are a lot of topics, but I'm just throwing them out there, and you guys want to spin on that or give me your take on the first thing about this incredible attacking of John McCain by this guy. I think it's despicable, you know. But you know, social media allows people to be despicable, and there are certain individuals. If when they die, I'll be like, yeah, you know, if Dick Cheney were to die today, I'd be like, good riddance, you know. But I wouldn't go online and say, you know, good for him, he's dead, and things like that. You know, people said I went online, made a mistake of going online when my uncle passed, and you know, there's individuals. And I could probably guess what their ethnicity is. They're really just really despicable and just have no respect for the dead and no respect for people's families and things like that. So, what do you got? You getting ready to say, Wayne? I guess.
No, yeah, you know, it's unfortunate that we are living in a time where, you know, the United States to a certain extent has lost its moral compass, and when you have somebody in power who basically empowers that level of thinking that it's okay to be a bully. It's okay to be disrespectful. It's okay to just, you know, throw salt on somebody's open wound, you know, except for his, you know, it just smacks of that double standard. And it just really bothers me what people have to go through. And I think, if anything, I was in a cab the other night going into the city, and the cab driver was saying that, you know, we're at a time now where people of our age and younger are witnessing things for the first time that this country has not experienced in years. I mean, probably in the last 100 years. And the thing is that if we in our communities don't take the time to empower ourselves,
mm-hmm.
And start holding meetings. In fact, where I was headed in Manhattan was at a meeting that a group of women of color were giving a symposium at the New York Live Arts Center on 18th Street. And I was amazed that I can't think of the moderator's name. She's an African-American woman who was a pastor of a church on the Upper East Side. And she's being followed by ICE, and she's an American citizen because of her outspokenness. And I was there in the room, and I, you know, I'm looking around the room, and you kind of look at some of the people. You just don't know who's watching who. But, you know, the deal is that we, more of us are going to have to take stands like that, regardless of what consequences may come with it, because things have got to change. You know, we're dealing with a corrupt government. And and everybody, you know, even those who are engaged in supportive of the corruption, know this man is corrupt and depraved. But they're going along with the program, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, I have very little respect for the Republicans, especially the ones who lack, you know, backbone and spine, because only a handful came out to condemn what he said about John McCain. And I just think it's shameful, and the fact that he, you know, he'll comment about what happened in New Zealand, but is it an act of white supremacy? No, it's a little fringe group. You know, a couple of brothers got together and want to make a name for themselves. I mean, this is stupidity. I mean, I don't hear the vitriol in his voice, you know, and every time it happens, there's no vitriol in his voice, you know, and that's what bothers me.
Well, what do you think, Byron?
John McCain, I can. Yeah, I was just going to say the despicable act of desecrating our recognized and known American heroes, you know, is unbecoming of a leader, and once you step across that line, and you go into the gutter to espouse a kind of hatred and disrespect of the flag. This is a person who says kneeling is disrespectful to the flag. Well, the most disrespectful thing the commander-in-chief can do is disrespect the honor of a man who gave his life for his country. That's not acceptable on any level. We have a tomb over in Arlington, Virginia, known as the Tomb of the Unknown Soldiers.
Soldiers, right.
Who gave their lives and only came back in bits and pieces, body pieces. You could not even define or determine who they were by, because there was no DNA testing during most of those times. So they buried them in a grave marked as the Unknown Soldier. We honor them every Memorial Day. There is a celebration, a salute, as you hang the wreath at that. I mean, that's one of the most respected moments in honoring our fallen soldiers. 750,000 men died in the Civil War, and yet we still honor both sides that lost and won. That is the essence of a democracy that is respectful of the human condition. The good, the bad, the ugly, the right, the wrong, it doesn't matter. You gave a life in defense of your principles.
Mm-hmm.
And yet,
right.
This individual sitting in that White House disrespects all elements of our moral turpitude. it's time to get rid of him. He is dangerous because he's sowing the seeds of anarchy, sedition. He is a traitor. He has committed acts of treason far and above anybody else, including those in the American Revolution who were determined to have been working for the British. This man is a foreign agent, and it's time to remove him once and for all.
Yeah, that's true.
Amen.
I mean, even if and as I said earlier, even if when I want to believe in the PR campaign of America, like the whole notion of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in Arlington National Cemetery, I've been down there, and I know that you have, Byron, by the way you describe it. And you know, when you go there and they do that ceremony once a day, you know, for the soldier, everybody's quiet and you are solemn. You show your respect. There is something to be said about individuals, right or wrong, who are willing to give their life for what they believe in. That's the ultimate, living it, walking it like you're talking, right? And you know, whether you're on the right side or wrong side, the warriors, the people who are willing to sit out there, you know, and if they happen to be on the wrong side and we have to go to war, then so be it. But there's a certain amount of respect that soldiers have for each other. Because they put it on the line. That's the same thing. The cops have that mentality, too. But in that, you have people that abuse that authority, that don't have it, that are thugs and criminals, that don't recognize that. So that's the remarkable thing to me about it, is that these people don't even support their own. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I was looking online earlier about and Sidney McCain shared this tweet that somebody sent her about her husband being a traitor and they're glad he's dead and this and that. And she shared it because she was saying her family should know what she thinks, trying to out the girl. So, you know, kind of when I think about the Malcolm X in me, I'm like, well, it's the chickens coming home to roost, right? Because the Republicans are living a certain lifestyle that this is what happens. You support this guy. You make it okay for this guy to come out. Now he's going to destroy your whole party. And there are so people that are so ignorant. You know, we live in such a big country. It's like living in New York, right? New York, you're trying to get on the subway. Everybody's rushing. There's that one person that got the exact change. That's holding up the line. And everybody's like, just move on. Do what you got to do. Keep it moving. You know why? Because there's so many people. There's a system that's running, that's continually running of America, the world. There's an infrastructure that's been built. So certain things are allowed to go on. Certain abuses of the system are allowed to go on, just as long as they don't bring down the whole system, right? So people put up with graft, and people put up with, you know, people get, I mean, don't put up with it. Well, certain people do, but they put up with all of these underhanded tactics so the whole system doesn't come crashing down, right? And what Trump is doing is he's trying to bring the whole system crashing down. And he cares nothing about the people that he claims to represent, clearly. If you're having those type of tax bills that he's putting through to pay the rich, pay the wealthy, if you're doing those type of things, these people that are coming out, these racist people, as usual, the leaders don't care about you. They don't care about them. But just as long as they, in their mind, that he's sticking it to the black people, he's sticking it to the immigrant, the illegal immigrants, the Mexicans, he's sticking it to the Muslims, they don't care. Their hatred is that deep. And I've said this before, that there are certain individuals, before they will share power with the rest of the world and have it, something be equitable, they will destroy it. They will practice a scorched earth policy. If they can't have it the way they want, nobody can have it.
And that's what's so sick about this whole situation with that party. I mean, the fact that they would bring the government to its knees, the man for almost a month or more than a month you know, had the government shut down, and is proud of that. You know, this man still wants to build a massive edifice on the border of Mexico and the United States, and it's all about him. You know, it's got nothing to do with protection or trying to stop immigrants from coming in here illegally. It's about having his footprint on that wall. It's like he knows he doesn't qualify for Mount Rushmore. But he'll put up a wall to say that I did this, and when history looks back, oh, that's what Donald did, you know?
Yeah, he's just trying to sell himself. Go ahead, Byron.
What I was just going to say is that, you know, the sad part is here's an individual over the weekend who notched up 50-plus tweets. And of those 50 tweets, he had time enough to watch a rerun of Saturday Night Live, tweet about that,
yeah,
and then participate
not, and
in
and not remember.
About,
hold on, let me just put this and not remember that it was a rerun and that he already
exactly.
got mad about it. Okay,
exactly, and spent half the weekend and continuing into the week ranting and raving about the housewives of the White House. Now, people, can we have a conversation about what is reality TV and what is reality, okay? Because at that point, there is need to be a serious conversation. I'm going to go on further with Kellyanne's husband and say, the man is indeed in trouble mentally. He has press conferences outside in the cold, in the Rose Garden. It's not springtime. It happened a few minutes ago. But his last few press conferences have been outside.
Yeah.
That idiot.
Because he wants that whole image.
And
yeah.
That whole image. And you have to begin to question the mental capacity of someone who takes this much effort to watch Saturday Night Live, past episodes, and not get it right, and then have issues engaging and indulging in someone's personal and private life with their housewife. That's insanity, people. And it's high time that the 25th Amendment be called in to put on the floor, because the longer we let this fool go into this zone where he is, the worse the condition will get, and he's already engaged in trying to throw shade at the notion that we are going to have another civil war. And that fool out there in Iowa, Steve King, is posting the same kind of idiocy. And I'm telling y'all, you can't keep allowing this insanity to keep running, because at some point, like in Jim Jones, they'll start drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah,
they're drinking it
now, brother.
Yeah.
They're already drinking it.
They're in the second course. Okay.
Yeah. And also tweeting, talk about, I heard that one of his tweets or one of his speeches is like, we got the people with the guns, we got the military and acting like all this stuff. It's like, wow, this guy really, he would be cool with seeing total chaos in the streets. He would be cool with that.
That's an act of sedition and anarchism.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
okay,
that,
we can
just,
throw
that,
in traitor and treason, but he is engaging in sedition and anarchy, and that's
his
open.
Game plan.
That's right, and that is an attack not just on the America that and our democracy. It's a full-blooded attack on the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And we are in a crisis. I keep hearing, well, we cross one more line, we'll be in a constitutional crisis. Well, folks, we've been in one ever since the day after the election. And to acknowledge it finally by the talking heads I am looking for the day when they're in one of these press conferences that the boldness of our fourth estate stands up and says, you are lying to us, Sarah Huckabuck. You are lying to us, Mr. President, and you need to come clean, because these are all lies and fabrications. Now, they may be thrown out, but I guarantee you, the minute that happens, America will stand up and finally take notice of people who stand up to the bullies and call them out. You cannot keep using that pulpit to tell fabrications, lies, and obfuscation. It is criminal.
This guy lies. I mean, you've seen somebody lie, but you've never seen somebody lie and then continue to lie and be proven that they're lying 5 minutes later within the same speech. And then, not only that, they're going to out themselves as having just told a lie, because the next lie they told totally contradicts the previous lie they told.
First one, exactly.
You know, it's like, what?
I got a question to ask you, Wayne and Eric. Okay, if all of the evidence that in the Mueller investigation is proving that the Russians colluded, who did they collude with? You just can't have a collusion by yourself.
Thank you.
Right.
I mean, let's be logical.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it seems to show. Everything points in the direction of Trump. You know, even this nonsense, the scandal with the little brothel in Florida, where the head of the Patriots was caught. You know, I mean, the owner came out today, and there's a connection now between the problems. The Asian woman who owns the property is linked to China and the business of what's going on there, you know, with doing clandestine deals. And it had been going on for a long time. There are pictures of her with Trump. And, you know, everything this man touches has filth on it, you know? I mean, everything. Mm-hmm. And everything is associated with race and money and class, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
But the man lacks class. That's the problem.
Yeah, no, I mean, he is like that dude that all the really rich people don't want. He's like the lottery winner, you know?
Yeah.
That they don't want to see him coming to their functions. But see, this is where I get into, you know, well, let's just let the dust settle, right? You know, let these chickens come home to roost on all of these people, because they brought it upon themselves and they were trying to work this game. It's like these Republicans are playing chicken, you know, with disaster, right? They're going to ride Trump over and they're going to try to jump out of the car right before it gets to the cliff, and hopefully they can parachute down. But they're not realizing that sometimes the parachute gets caught on the side of the cliff. You know, and I'm reminded of an individual like Lindsey Graham, who, if you saw him speaking with whatever news clip he was speaking today, he actually said a little bit stronger words about the president, but he almost didn't even want to speak up loud. You know, it was almost like he was whispering to talk about the president, and I could help the president to get there. Like, he didn't even want to say it out loud. I'm like, wow, dude. Weren't you just talking about 2 years ago about John McCain was your boy and that's your man and whoop whoop, and you were talking about troubles this, and now you put your tail between your legs and you let this man talk about your boy like that? Wow. Yep. I mean, unless they're really like doing some Machiavellian type of stuff, it's like, when do you show that you got a pair? You know what I mean? And just say, man, there's some things, if that's your objective, by any means, you know, the means justify the ends, then I dig it, because they seem to be professionals at it, and that's what this country has been moving forward with each step of the way. The means justify the ends. So let's as long as we keep it moving, give everybody a little something to believe in, let some of these people who are making money make a little bit more money, and these people who aren't, give them a distraction as to why they aren't making money, you know, and tell them some lie about why they are. I'm still tripping about how the public, I mean, how the media does not, I mean, kudos to Jim Acosta, right? He's one of the few ones that'll stand up there, and a couple of those folks in the White House press care that'll stand up there and tell the president, you know, that's not exactly true. You know, and even in those press conferences, you've never seen a president of the United States be so nasty in the press conference. Tell somebody to sit down. Just that nasty grimace. It's like, wow. But then I'm like, well, this is their thing. This is their thing. Yeah. This is who they are.
Yeah.
He's just a presidential version of Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney was that dude. It's just that George was the president because they knew how to play that off, right? So you let W be the president, the nice guy, the kind of goofy guy, the nutty guy, and you have the dark lord, you know, Emperor Palpatine behind the scenes. That's the evil one. And now that's reversed, because that character now is actually the president. You know, so I mean, I'm like, you know, we need to, as black people and people who are being oppressed and other people want to see justice in the world, you know, we need to to come together. Like you said, Wayne, we need to do it like back in the day, the LIB days and days like that, where we're coming together with each other, sharing this information, coming up with strategies and how we can survive in this country and combat this constant impression that we have 400 years is too long, man. 400 years is too long to continue to go through this stuff.
And what bothers me is that when I engage in conversation with some people who even look like us, and I'm going to single this out, and I stand on ceremony about this, some of my brothers and sisters from the Caribbean don't see, in spite of what's going on with them, don't seem the same picture that, you know, from the lenses that we may see. And, you know, I say that as a proud descendant of immigrants who came here, struggled hard and all that in a different time period. But they got to see the big picture, you know. Not everything is what is being espoused by one particular network. And just because there it may be a socialist uprising within the Democratic Party doesn't necessarily mean that the person who's espousing equal level playing field for everybody is looking to turn the government into Cuba or a communist country.
Right.
You know?
And now you're speaking in terms of how people from the Caribbean come and they kind of see what Trump and they kind of are a little bit more conservative in some
yeah,
of the things
of
because
I'm
of the,
saying all because the vast majority
right.
of us are catching hell. But I was
right.
at a dinner party a few weeks back, and I didn't want to. When I go out, I mean, I was raised the right way. You don't talk about politics, sex, and rock and roll, or however it goes. But we were there to honor a friend of mine, and her brother-in-law. You know, I guess he knows my wheelhouse and what to tick me off, and all he's got to say. It's something about AOC, something about Kamala Harris, and, you know, what Trump has done for him and his children and all that. And I'm just saying, man, you know, you just look like me. That never matter your religious affiliation. Both of us put our pants on the same way, and we both face with the same amount of degradation and insults from this man. And no one in the history of the United, no president in the history of the United States have had 34 indictments against administration figures that he's brought in. You know, the man, I don't see where you see this progress.
Wayne,
well, you know,
I
was going to say,
let me just
throw this out real quick. And what happens is, and I just want to throw this out real quick, Byron, a lot of people,
yeah.
you know, that come from other countries and you come from a place where you've had nothing, and you see what people do have and what they can work with, yeah, and you're going to get a lot of these folks and a lot of even American-born African-Americans that on paper, the whole kind of, you know, Republican, their little talking points on paper, yeah, that sounds great. You work hard, you build yourself up, and, you know, you can do that. You can take advantage of the opportunities you have here, but that's on paper. Because you know what? That when they gave out those land grants back in the day, they were only giving them to white farmers. They wasn't giving them
Thank
to the black
you.
Farmers.
Right.
So you
and
know,
those programs
the inherent
are being threatened. This man's threatening
right.
all these damn things.
Exactly. And when you're standing the person who was giving stuff out and the one who was the one that is interpreting things, you know, and deciding and has the discretion, that's where the inherent racism in. You know, that's not written into the laws, but it's agreed, it's a practice. You were going to say, Byron.
I just want to know, Wayne, what was it that he did, Trump has done for him and his kids and his family? I'm failing to comprehend what he is claiming.
Well, the thing that really gets to me, and there's another person, but this I'm dealing primarily with my brothers and sisters from that corner of the world. Who think like that. The thing is, a $30 increase in your pay, but you still
yeah.
don't know how your taxes are going to come out because of the impact of the SALT agreement now that he's changed everything in terms of people who have gone through the process of owning real estate and you're limited as to what you could write off.
Right.
He talks about how he's sick and tired of having to have people to support who are coming in who are because of the homeless crisis in New York and other parts of the country where these urban centers have had difficulty trying to house these people. You know, he talks about that element and that, you know, he too came to this country poor and he worked his exterior off in order to become who he is today. And he said that's the only way that, that we could get ahead, and that he has utter disdain and disrespect for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez for some of the things that she's been talking about. But the very things she's been talking about, as I pointed out to him, you know, has been supported by evidence that she's provided from conservative think tanks. So how do you, I mean, what's this, what is it about her and Kamala Harris and all these other people who want change, they want the planet to become green, you know, and this person works for one of the utility companies, and I'm going to say who or what, you know, or where, but it just bothers me that, you know, I just don't understand why the elevator ain't going to the top floor with this.
It's a lack of context. It's a lack of context and intelligence and understanding the true situation. I mean, that's the individual, and I'm going to say this, that has a certain level. Individuals have a certain level of education. It's kind of like, you know, the non-white, the white non-college educated voter as opposed to the white college educated voter, right? They said more of those went for Trump as opposed to not for Trump. So that limited education, which doesn't allow you to look at the whole picture and to give you a comprehensive picture, you know, you're going to stop there. You're going to be like, okay, this guy sounds good. If you're not able, you don't have the skills to pick apart what he's saying and to understand. People, the average person doesn't understand how the government works. They don't understand.
No, but
can't
you
even
know what bothers me, Eric and Byron? I mean, the thing is that he has children, and he's poisoning his little high yellow son to think a certain, excuse me for saying that, but to think a certain way, which really he's too young to understand the struggles that we've gone through to make it comfortable for someone like him to even exist the way he does.
Exactly. And that's the problem. There's a lack of history, lack of knowledge of self, right? So as long as you can keep the people knowing the knowledge of themselves and their history, they're going to be doing this ignorant stuff because they know no better. So it's the we sick boss mentality, right?
But it angers me. I'm sorry.
I'm willing to bet you his level of comfortability is based in a level of appreciation for a thug mentality.
Thank you.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Because if he is in high praise of an individual who's running a criminal enterprise, he himself is accepting the enterprise and the behavior modifications to be like him and appreciate him is to act like him.
Yeah.
And he's living in a false sense of reality. And I'm telling you, his appreciation is that of the bully and the thug, and he's probably participating in a very like manner.
Well,
you know,
just,
also, Byron,
you know,
let me just,
it's one thing for him to think that way, but when you start poisoning that next generation, you know, and that's what bothers me.
Doing it. I mean, social media is doing that to many members of our generation. We have, you know, the things that are advantageous about social media are also the things that are detrimental about it, right? It's spreading the ability that online, that the internet has us to share information. That information can be misread or can be, you could have misinformation. So so when a cat like that, people, you know, I always say like this, when people have rich friends, when you have rich friends, what's the one thing you want your rich friend to tell you? I'm rich, let me make you rich too, you know? So when you get a rich dude in the White House and he's saying these things, people want to emulate that. You know, the main thing about a capitalist society is that potentially – money always wins, right?
Yeah.
Everybody can be bought. Usually, what do they say? Everybody, and I'm sure Trump lives by this too, everybody has a price.
Yeah.
You can always make a deal with somebody, right? Mm-hmm. We can always make a deal. There's always some deal. So when you walk around with that and you're thinking that that everybody like you has no integrity, their integrity goes as far as their pocketbook, then people believe that stuff. They think that stuff is okay, but I guarantee you his tune is going to change the moment his son gets pulled over and harassed or victimized or brutalized by a white police officer. Then they're going to be running around back to the people that are trying to be telling them the right thing all along and cry wolf and, oh, can you help me now? Oh, can you help me now? Well, where were you before when we was trying to jump the revolution off?
Exactly. Exactly. And I don't have respect for people. I don't have the patience anymore, man. I mean, you know, when something like that happens, and my thing is, well, I told you, you know, what am I supposed to say, you know? And I'm good for that. I could live right next door to you, man. And you know, if I know something's wrong, I'm going to call it, you know, and maybe that's my shortcoming. But at the end of the day, if you knew you had an opportunity to do something about it and you chose not to, you know, for whatever sophomoric reason that you might have come up with, then so be it. You know, you live with sleep with fleas or however that expression goes. You know, you die with them and what have you. I don't mean to change. You know,
right?
I can't think of a better metaphor than that.
But yeah, you got to lie in the bed. You made your bed, now you got to lie in it. Oh, well.
Thank you.
Now, you know, you can't do the wrong thing or side with the wrong people. That only goes so far. And all these black people that want to talk about how great this dude is, okay, good luck with that. Good luck with that. But just be willing to ride or die with that.
Yeah,
you know?
They're out there.
Yeah, they are. They're out there. And they're,
what's this woman,
Candace Owens?
Candace Adams and... You know, I don't get it. The only thing that is positive that happened the other day, I heard that Fox hired Donna Brazile. And I don't watch a lot of Fox, but the bottom line is that if they're going to cover this election in 2020, you know, they better go about it with at least some measure of balance to a certain extent. And I'm so glad they busted Jeanine Pirro, my former county district attorney up here. I'm just shocked, and somebody just really needs to take a history book to her and just basically tell her what it is that she missed in school. I really don't get that.
She seemed like she's not right either when I hear her talk. You know, she seemed like she's a little bit, there's something going on up there, the way she talks. I'm talking about the way she verbally speaks about things going. You know, they always get real rabid. I was watching an old YouTube video with Lester Maddox, Governor Lester Maddox, Jim Brown, and Truman Capote on the old Dick Cavett show.
Oh, yeah, Dick Cavett. Oh,
and,
what a snap.
And, and Lester Maddox and Jim Brown are going back and forth. And Lester Maddox, I had never seen any clips of this racist. But you could tell his behavior was the same behavior as a Trump supporter, rabid, interrupting, aggressive, and little tiny white dude, too. So Jim was just laughing at him. They were going back and forth. But just the stuff, the way he was coming off, he was clearly a racist guy who's used to not having people question him, certainly not black people and people who disagree with him. But it was really interesting to say this is exactly how the Trump supporters act now. Exactly.
Yeah.
Every time they're in a debate with somebody, they get aggressive and they want to try to be intimidating and things like that. And maybe they're making a mistake that they think all Democrats are peace-loving and, you know, we're liberal, and so that means that we ain't going to come at you the same way you're coming at us. But that would be a mistake, you know? I recently watched, you know, this documentary about Muhammad Ali. And we need to remember the type of individual that Muhammad Ali was, the type of individual that Malcolm X was. That you can't buy them brothers. They couldn't be bought.
Right.
You know? Muhammad Ali gave it all up at the prime of his life and still told white people what he thought about them. Not in an aggressive manner. He just told them the truth. And the truth came out a little harsh sometimes. You can find tons of videos about Muhammad Ali when he's talking to journalists at the time that wanted to question about his thoughts about race. And how he comes off, goes off our people. What he's talking about, you oppress my people. He runs it down, and this is the same time. And this is the type of courage that we need in a lot of our people. At least in the media, when this guy comes out and says John McCain is a war hero, he's not a war hero. Why didn't the guy who was interviewing him say you're full of it, man? He is a war hero. Who do you think you are?
That's the problem.
Stop playing footsie with this dude. Every time,
yeah.
I still hear these networks talking about every time, a mistruth, a mystery, misspoke. It's a fucking lie. Excuse my language. I'm sorry. It's
right.
A lie. It's a lie. Say that this man is lying. Call him what he is. But let's not. But everybody's got so much vested interest. You know, everybody's got an angle that they're trying to play. Kellyanne getting ready to get a divorce from her husband because she like going to work at the White House, right?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I mean, that could very well be the case. I mean, because the way she stood up for Trump, you would wonder if there was something going on there. I mean, she looks like
exactly.
a walking cadaver, you know.
Yeah, I don't think she's his type, you know.
Yeah, probably. Who knows? Who knows what his type is, you know?
You know.
I mean, I thought the guy that used to play for the Cavaliers, I can't think of his name now. He was skinny. He was the master of the three-point shot before our boy in Golden State. But, God, you know, I mean, every time I look at her, she looks like skin and bones. I don't even know why he'd be married to someone like that. You know, but that's just
Well, I mean, we don't want to get bashing. We don't want to be bashing women for their looks, because then we're going to be saying that.
Yeah,
but we just know that what you're saying, Wayne, is what Donald Trump would say about someone like Kellyanne in terms of looks.
I apologize. You know, I shouldn't
go
that low.
So
yeah,
I mean, she's not your type, you know.
Exactly.
let's
yeah, I'm sorry, Michelle Obama. I should have kept it high. I went low. I'm sorry.
You know, hey, it's okay, because sometimes you fight fire with fire, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. They can't expect people not to come at them low when they go after people low, you know.
Right.
And this,
well,
this is the whole situation
dinner,
with
this
dude.
Excuse. So.
No. And what do you guys think about that? That little, I mean, this last thing with him getting really involved in this woman's marriage and her defending the president over her husband. I mean, it might be job security, or because she wasn't a Trump supporter. Remember back in the day before she got the job offer? This is what I'm saying. Everybody can be bought. Before she got the job offer, she was like a never Trumper.
If you remember back in the day, she was
on somebody else's camp.
Uh huh. Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel sorry for both of them, because if I had to be married and my personal life was that exposed, you know,
mm-hmm.
it must be, I just wonder what it's like living with each other, you know?
Right,
And, you know, I mean, she is a professional. She represents a business, and she has to, you know, regardless of what the political persuasion might be of her client, she has to uphold what's expected of the client. But this man has a law. He's a licensed attorney. And what he said, I've heard some of his criticism of Trump, and it's on point. You would think he's a Democrat.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
So,
what do you think there, Byron? What's your perspective about that?
Like I said at the top of the show, he's more concerned about the housewives of the White House and Saturday Night Live than he is about the problems of the nation. And the nation under his control right now, you got floods out there in the Midwest, and it's about to blow up the entire trade agreement and trade war he has with China, because our number one purchaser of corn and wheat is China. And so the floods are killing the winter crop. Okay, so there's crickets coming out of the White House with respect to the floods that are out there in the Midwest, and those people are suffering. Now, I know you didn't want to go biblical, but I'm going to just
biblical,
say this.
Brother.
Go ahead, man.
It needs to be said.
I learned.
Check this out. Christ Church City, New Zealand.
Yeah.
Tragedy has biblical significance, where Muslims, Christians, and Jews came face to face with evil. Think
you said
about
Christ,
that.
The churches they were at. So what are you saying?
That
there were Muslims,
the
Jews,
city,
and Christians there.
The name of the city is Christ
Church
City.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
In New Zealand, that's the name of the city. I can't write this stuff in a script. Come on, y'all would throw me out of Hollywood if I came with a script was like this. Okay? And it brought Muslims, Christians, and Jews face to face with the real evil enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. You've got a Middle East right now teetering on the verge of complete and total disaster. The one place you would never expect all three of those religions to come together under one banner. Christ.
So they all, you're saying that all those three religions are located in that area?
That's right. They came out to support each other. And look how fast the premier of New Zealand is enacting and engaging in common sense gun legislation. She took 24 hours to say, we're changing this right now.
Right.
Okay.
They've never had a history of that.
That's right. That's exactly right. And so, I mean, at the point at which, and when you go back and look at two books of the Bible, Exodus and Revelations, Exodus identifies, and I'm telling you, you can't just write this stuff now because it's like it's already been written. It's over 2,000 years old. But in Exodus, they talk about pestilence and plagues that hit the empire of Egypt and prompted the exodus from Egypt. Now, how long have we been in this country? 400 years.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, there are moments in which people talk about seals have been broken and the end of days are coming. And then you look at the pestilence of the floods, the fires, the washing up on the shores of the Pacific, dead fish can't be eaten because of Fukushima. You talk about the plagues and the pestilence. You've got measles coming back in play because people are not getting their shots. I'm telling you, once again, I can't make this stuff up. It's been written already. And
it's
this country lives by a Judeo-Christian prophetic concept.
Mm-hmm.
I leave it at that, y'all.
I just hope it changes, brother. I mean, what you're saying is so true.
It is changing. And that's the part of which I'm trying to get you to correlate the connection, because it's not a change that we are orchestrating ourselves. There is a divine presence and order in all of the universe. Our people have been here for 400 years, and you've got realization of slave catcher laws coming back into play with respect to ICE. What is ICE doing? ICE is the slave catcher's laws of the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
They go in and they pick up people. You said it yourself, Wayne, at the top of the show. You don't know who you're looking at these meetings.
I tell you, it was scary, man. You know, I enter this room and you think people of similar mindset are sitting there. But, you know, as soon as I heard that ICE was in the room and that she was bold enough to talk about it, that she's being watched, you know, it makes you think, where are we going to, she's an African-American, they're going to deport her to Brooklyn? You know, I mean, what is that about?
Why is ICE watching her? Why?
Because she's been helping immigrants who have come to this country, separated from their families, and they are not happy with her work and the work of her church.
They're watching her in hopes of catching some illegal immigrants. Got it.
Right.
I tell you this, history has a measure of repeating itself. And when you go into the house of worships, which is in any state in this union, which is considered to be a sanctuary, and you bring in a slave catcher to come in and round them up in the house where they're supposed to be sanctuary, you are engaging in the same concept that Nazi Germany engaged in.
Right.
Yep.
That's assuming that you know, the house of worship is supposed to be a sanctuary. That's assuming that people are going to abide by that, right? and live by what they have established. But we know that they haven't, because the black churches that were bombed, the black churches that would be in existence during slavery and Jim Crow, were sanctuaries, and they didn't respect it. Secondly, I don't know, I'm not fully in agreement with the slave catcher analogy, because these people aren't being returned back to slavery like black people were, so let's make that distinction. They're not going back to the horrific life and experiences and the brutality that the slaves were. So I just want to make that distinction,
Eric, I think the point is that a lot of these people have come here for a better life.
Understood, but let's remember what slavery was. Let's remember the brutality, the you know, cutting limbs off and all of that.
Oh, yeah.
So I understand exactly that, but I want us to be clear in terms of when we try to equate certain things that we don't water down the struggle and the oppression of our people, because that often happens. I know that we know the difference here in our discussion. For the sake of our discussion, we certainly know the difference. But there are people who will take that and say, see, you know, and they'll draw false equivalency. So I just don't want a false equivalency to be drawn to that. But it is tantamount to, you know, kidnapping. And I agree to what the points that you're making. I just wanted to make that particular distinction. Before we move on, go ahead, Wayne.
I don't think anybody's exempt. I even think ICE listens to this program. I mean, there's that much level of scrutiny. I was made to
welcome
believe,
to them.
You know, I don't go out that much, but when I saw what happened the other night, that really bothered me.
Yeah, it should. I mean, you know, the fact that there are slave actions. I agree with Byron on the fact that they are taking slave catching techniques, you know, the separating of the children, you know, from parents that will never be seen again. And who knows where those kids are? They could be sold into slavery or trafficking. So, you know, I agree. I know that we know, but people who might not know and might not be able to draw those distinctions, we want them to understand, because we need to have this next generation be more woke than they are, or have more of them to be woke. There's a lot of them that are woke, but they need to understand the true ramifications of the history from which they come and what's been done to their people, and give them the tools to move forward so we can have these strategies where we can combat this madness that is being afflicted and enacted upon against our people. We got like about just under 3 minutes. Before we go, I want to talk about something a little bit lighter. You guys know that Jordan Peele, I don't know if you're aware that this Jordan Peele new horror movie is getting ready to come out on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
The reports are saying that it is the best horror film of all time. And I'm really happy for this brother, because he is he seems a big cat that's kind of on a genius level. And you know, I want to encourage people to go see it. I don't know if you guys plan to go see it or if you guys are horror film fans, but I know Byron being the other actor and acting artist.
I had a chance to go see it last night, but I couldn't make it, so I can't report on it today. You know,
wow.
But anytime you deal with racism, that is a horror film. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I don't care what level you want to put it on, and you can any form you want to call it, it will always be better and worse than Freddy Krueger or Texas Chainsaw Massacre or even blood sucking werewolves, or I mean, just pick a story and horror
there
of racism is horror.
Yeah,
there it is. Wayne, you
right.
want to say? We got just about a minute.
I was just hearing a lot about the film that's coming out. I'm not one to really go to the movies a great deal, and I should, because there's a lot of fascinating stuff out there, you know, stuff that I really would like to see and say that, you know, I have an opinion about something. But I'm so proud that our generation is really – I should say not our, but that younger generation, which you guys
right.
are a part of,
right.
you know,
okay.
basically are kicking behind, you know. It ain't
all
like
right.
how it was back in the day.
There it is. Wayne gets the last point. We got to go. This has been the K. Thompson Live Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I'm Citizen Payne. Byron Saunders, brother, tell the people that you love
them. Peace and love, always.
Yes, sir. Thank you. We'll talk to you again next week. Brother Wayne Gilman, calling in, legendary newsman.
Thank you. All the best,
All right, we'll talk to you next week. This has been the K. Thompson Live Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. You can hear us every Wednesday live, 8 to 9 p.m., or we are archived on Blog Talk Radio. You can hear listen to any of the shows anytime you want. We had a caller calling in from the 32312 number. I didn't know you were calling in, caller, and hopefully you'll call back or that you enjoyed the show. Listen to us again next week. We're going to pick it up again then. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you again. K. Thompson Live, Blog Talk Radio. Citizen Payne, K. Thompson, out.